Hi, this is Veronica Entwistle. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design, and I hope I'm going to get to tune in to you. I'm an intuitive and energy worker, and I love to talk to you about what's going on the planet, because you, my friends, are a microcosm of what's going on amongst all of humanity. Now, we know there's a lot of bubbling in that too, isn't there? So it may not look like we're all the same, but there are huge influences coming through the universes and rising through you and me. We're influences as well. And I want to talk about catching the wave. Have any of you noticed there are election primaries going on? Ta-da! Have any of you noticed how screwy it all is and how controlled and how bought and how manipulated and how... So it's not really easy to say, I'm going to vote this way or that, and I see the truth in the path this way or that. I was talking to my guides. I was like to channel before these shows. And the guides were talking about how you and I and many of us, and we're going to do this in the sacred geometric structures tonight, you and I and many, many, many others on this planet are fully capable of standing in our creative center, in the center of being the only one in the universe that's this being, that's me, or this being, that's you. You're the only one in the universe that's you. And beyond us on the physical, there are realms and realms and realms of wisdom and consciousness. And as a lot of you know who know various channels, there are many, many beings of consciousness that are brought through the mind of people who have learned to unlimit themselves, to break through what I see as kind of vibrational membranes around people. And those membranes, I see them inside of each one of us, containing all kind of beliefs, densities of belief and reaction and resentment and lineage and karma and so on, pick a thing, anything. And very often, as we do energy work and as we do consciousness work and as we reach with our intentions, our mind, our breath, our hearts, and the heart is the center of all of it, isn't it? As we reach, we can bring in, draw in amazing levels of consciousness. And what the guys are saying, and I don't know if any of you have noticed this, right? But there are some things going on the planet that are not fair. That's an old word I'd used in one of my first words. Things just aren't fair. And there are things going on the planet where there are many people being left without supplies. And there are many people who have too many supplies, if you want to look at it that way. And you could say, well, we just create our reality, or that person must have had big karma, so they're just living it out, so it's okay that they're groveling in the mud for a minimal sustenance. We could say all that, right? Or we could say we have the ability to unlimit ourselves, to release karma, to release the kinds of influences that came from our lineage and our low, low expectations of one another and of ourselves, most particularly ourselves. Of our life of reaction or control or getting even that sort of thing, as opposed to a life of giving, empowering, radiating out there. We can do that. But they're saying, you know, stay in your presence. And we're going to do this tonight in the sacred geometrics. Drop into your presence, into the presence of your being. Do that with me right now. Take a couple of deep breaths. And we take those breaths, feel the air and the deep breath, the prana, moving through your legs and through your belly and through your stomach and through your chest. Just feel it. And as you do, it softens the way things are, doesn't it? It leaves things in a very kind of a calm, sweet state. And a few more breaths. And now wrap yourself in light.
wrap yourself in the most beautiful golden light. Some of you have a lot of pink in your gold. Some people have fuchsia. It doesn't matter, as long as it's a very, very pure, pure light. Have it go round and round you and purify who you are. Good. And now, have that light move way up through your body and reach way out there and invite beings who match this higher frequency of your higher self. I'm skipping steps here, but in any case, invite them to come in and speak with you. So your attention and your intention are to be focused upwardly or out there, however you see transformation, out there to much higher consciousnesses. And often when you do this, you're going to feel kind of a buzzing in your body. And as you connect, and I want to know how many, raise your hand. And as you connect out there with these beings or with this higher consciousness, now you might call it a person, you might call it your higher self. You may call it, right now I'm seeing a rather interesting consortium of beings. And how do they look to me? To me, and this is not like everybody, everybody's different. They look like kind of wafting colors. I can see kind of facial meaning. You know what I mean? You know, we have expressions on our face. We don't have what I would call a face, except that their expressions are coming through the wafting colors that are all around in this team. And then we can hold out our arms and hold our hands up, our palms up in the air, and absolutely feel the vibrations and the light coming in and bouncing off the palms of your hand. Oh my goodness. So here we're talking about the way the world is going and how there's so many people in a state of being like dug in, lost, homeless, sick. We're seeing marauding of the fracking and the poisoning of the animals and the melting of the polar ice caps and the climate emergencies and the welfare emergencies and the ridiculous non-distribution of wealth and the lack of incentive for work and so on. That's even worse to me than no work, is that huge lack of incentive that's being provided by denatured food and no security and a broken family. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So when we go back into, and it's all around the world, we can say, oh my gosh, what am I going to do about it? There's no justice. I mean, and then we've heard in metaphysics, well, just focus on what's positive. But I always want to do something more. And my guys are saying, yeah, do that. So the idea of what you can do is to raise your field and frequency, just as we were doing, and see and invite yourself to connect to beings in higher realms that can then infuse your higher self and your body-mind with higher frequencies. And then when you walk to the store, I don't care if you're going to get gas, that evil doodah, you can take your presence, the presence of your connection to the higher, and also the awareness that you are divinity. Each of us has that wonderful fire of divinity in us. And we forget to look there, and we forget to reach up with our mind as a sculpting tool and our body as a great vehicle, and then move toward the gas station or wherever with a consciousness that's higher, a frequency that's higher. It's like your very vibration is a vision. You understand? You may not have a pretty hairdo today or a fancy duds, but your very vibration is as if it's sending a picture of your love, your kindness, your ability to refabricate some of the aspects of our society into the world. When we do that, we're serving the planet as much as anything you do. So instead of grappling for who gets the most points and the most, the bot elections and all of those things, I don't need to talk about it. We need to start emanating. I was thinking about a little line I wrote years ago. It just lurked out of me and it said, and they lit each other like candles. And as they lit each other, they felt the fire moving throughout humanity. and they lit each other again and said, it's love and it's about time. Something like that. I think I've misquoted my own quote. But in any case, you get the point that it's contagious. When you start to move energy like that out into the world, somebody who's very disconsolate and miserable and, oh, I don't know, maybe poor, whatever, sick or whatever, you have the ability to walk by them or go into a room and emanate in such a way as to lift that person. When people are lifted, we don't know what they can do. Can they be healed? I don't know. Can they begin to take action in a more empowered way? I don't know, but I think so. And I think that that kind of vibration installs and instills love and compassion and a greater sense of what we can do. It's just amazing. And so I say to you what the guide said is grow your connection to the higher beings because they're there. They're there to love you and they have to be invited in. But I want to remind you, the more you feel the presence of both your divinity, you have divinity in you. Those trees have divinity, those flowers, those weeds. So interesting, isn't it? We all have divinity. So there's a jerk across the street. You can't stand that person. So you stop, you breathe, you call in the higher. You check with your divinity, your little light in there, big light. And then you look over at that person whom we already called a jerk. Look at his light or her light. Okay, you can't see it, but when you practice, you will see it. And then you'll see it grow when it's seen and known for what it is. And I've said this a lot. When people are seen and known for who they are, they actually experience quite a bit of a healing. So let's just look at this person you consider to be a jerk and look inside and say, okay, I see your divinity. And I promise you, with connecting to the higher and connecting to your own divine, the presence within, and that other person, you're making humongous difference. Humongous. So let's do, first of all, I hope you're going to call in tonight. I really love it when you guys call in. And I know you don't want to all the time, so we might get one or two callers, but I would like one or two or three or four. What do you think of that? But first, we're going to do the sacred geometrics. And let me see here. I was going to give you the number. Can you get the number off the front of your website? Okay, so off the BBS website. Well, sacred geometrics, let's do this. These are shapes. I talked about raising your field in frequency and then reaching up with your mind as a sculpting tool and actually connecting with higher consciousnesses. Yay, you're going to do that. Here's another way to do it. We're creating structures in which you can design, in which you can amp up your own energy fields, in which you can do healing work, in which you can find peace and happiness and a safe place to be, even if you don't feel like you're in a safe place. So focus up there, way up there, above your head, and see up there a golden ball. It might be 2 miles up. And below your spine, another golden ball, maybe 40 feet down. And drop the filament of light from the upper golden ball down through the spine into the lower golden ball. Good. And now you're on a skewer. You're on this amazing golden light, which is like a filament. And so from the upper golden ball to about waist height, drop a gold pyramid. Take a look at it. It's beautiful. It's about waist height. Now push it out so that you can play underneath it. It's like a little tent, eh? Now upside down, pointing into the lower golden ball, another pyramid. Now when the two pyramids hitch together, you've got yourself a diamond shape. It's also known as a double tetrahedron, right? And now inside, and you're inside of it, right? Now inside of that, we create a crystal ball. And the crystal ball is shimmering with spectral hues. It's just shimmering. You know how ice or frozen water with gas in it, things like that have these amazing colors. What about a beautiful crystal ball? Oh, my. And you can feel how much more feminine the energy is when you're inside the crystal ball. Give it a feel. And now inside of that, there's a star tetrahedron. It's like a three-dimensional Star of David. And it's the same as your Merkaba or Merkaba, which is your vehicle for shifting dimensions. So you're inside this beautiful, beautiful star. You're the star. And I want you to spin and spin and spin in your star. So you've got this big diamond, and inside you've got this beautiful crystal ball. And inside of that, there's the star, and you're spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. Okay, now whilst you spin, look in front of you and see a magical screen, and it's still, look, it's just steady there. And I want you to focus on the first frame, and I want you to see, create everybody. I'm living in LA right now, so everybody's creating movies and whatever, scripts and blah, blah, blah. So this script is you creating you in a state of becoming what it is you dream of being. What is it you dream of being? I always say I want to be consciously multidimensional. But I always want to throw in, I want to be really loving and compassionate and transformational. Oof. So I want to be all these things. As I used to say, I just want to go to God in good clothes. Great clothes, I say. Good. So what is it you want to create for yourself? And I could see so many of you becoming and becoming and becoming and becoming. Don't be afraid of your dream. Be dream big, 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 big. And see the vision of yourself becoming. And when that's achieved, move it over to the left, covered in light. And now the second screen is you creating a project. What's the project you want to do? Let me see here. It can be a home and family. It can be something as precious as a baby. And for some people, it can be a book, or it can be a world travel or international or intergalactic travel, right? And some it can be winning a raise or getting a whatever. Okay. And some could be making a difference. So I want you to see that and all the resources coming together to help you create your project. Good. And the resources are the people, the time, the places, the ideas, the helpers. Oh, my goodness. And it's really beautiful. You're so hard at work. And all the pieces come together. And there's your product. Whoa, it works so well. And you're quite thrilled. And you stop for a moment to preen your feathers, which you should do. We should always stop at appreciation of ourselves, shouldn't we? And then we're going to take a little more time, and we know we're going to call in all the resources, the people, everything, the place, all the finances, everything that we need to sustain this project from here till the time it has a natural denouement. Right? So see it all happening. There you go. And see how happy it makes you feel. It's like a mom who's watched her baby grow up. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Until it's done, and then wrap it all in light, move it over to the left. And now this last one, it's not really last, this is a big one. This is our Galactic Healing Center. Now there's a number of people out there that are going through huge healing crises. So because you haven't called in and you haven't let me know what they are, guess what? I'll have to reach out there and dig for them. But I do have some people on my mind who have issues that you probably can relate to. So we'll start with some of those. First of all, we call in from these amazingly gigantic, enormous realms of beings, of healing, of light, of transformation, of expanded consciousness way beyond what's human. And we're going to get our healing group stand around our precious healing table. And the first person is going to be you that lies on the table, or me, because it's like taking your, you know, if you're in a plane and you need to put the oxygen mask on, you always say put your own on first, right? So it gets you on this table, or me on this table, gets the healing going. Sometimes healing is strange, and it just comes with energy, and it might take a while. It might start through your body and, you know, like that. There we are. So lie on your table. And ask the healing team what it is you need. Yeah. Okay. And then ask if they have any advice for you. Mm-hmm. That's it. And can you feel their energy? And who's in your healing team? How many of you can actually see who's there or experience who's there somehow? Good. Now wrap that in light and let yourself cook or be cooked over here on the left side where there's this beautiful vaulted space. This is like a big room. You feel like you can just stay there and be healed and healed. Now let's bring in the second table and have our team replicate themselves again around the second table. And in fact, I'm going to put several people on the table. One of them is a precious, precious friend who's got breast cancer quite severely, or let's say this, the breast cancer's got her right now, but we know something can be done. So what we're going to do is have her on the table, and we're asking the healing team to be present with her, her team, my team, your team, people who want to be present with her. So she's here in this table. Here's another table. And this woman has chronic pain, and she has heart fibrillation. She's been through a tremendous amount in this life. She can't really go very far. She's got strange blood pressure and so on. I don't know the exact, what they call all this, but I think that she has what I would call a broken heart and a body that's just exhausted from taking on the world in wonderful ways. She's a true hero who has been bereft with the loss of her son. So you know how that will take its toll. So we're going to do her as well. Here's another one that's in constant pain, and she has been for a long time. She used to call into the show some time ago, but we're going to send light to her and ask the team what it is she needs. And the fourth one is a gentleman who is feeling badly and is always in pain. See, people, chronic pain in this society is really important. Remember, underneath every pain is a huge emotional content. So this fellow's kind of younger, and he's in chronic kind of pain. He's unable to make much of a living, although he tries. For some reason, he shortchanges himself, he doubts himself, and he just is angry and frustrated because the world doesn't serve him very well. And we're saying there's a lot of strengthening that he can enjoy in this life. And so we're putting him on the table to see what the guides and angels say. So this is our window right now. So we have the first young mother with the breast cancer. And the healing team is telling us some wonderful messages about her. Yeah. And what she needs to do, what they're doing is encouraging her with, courage is the big word. And they're also shifting a lot about her lymphatics, actually. Wait a second here. I'm going to rub my hand so that I can rub my hand over it all and feel it. Yeah. So there's a lot about her lymphatics that they're working through. Wow. And I hope that she will feel the difference here. Now we're going to wrap her in light. And they're doing a lot of very deep, intimate work on her. So we'll wrap that in light and ask them to please continue. And then our lady who's in chronic pain, who is an amazing contributor to our society and always has been. She's got a heart that just won't quit. But it's wanting to quit. It must be a little overloaded with all the love that she has sent into the world, wrap it in light. Yeah, and see if we can help her blood sugar, not blood pressure, get balanced. Yes. Okay. So they're saying there's a lot about her spine that needs to be readjusted too. Mm-hmm. Because where the spine is crimped and cramped, it really holds the flow, the pressure in a strange way. Now we're going to wrap that in light, move it over to the side, and then we're going to go to this one who's been in chronic pain for so long. It's heartbreaking. Okay. And you know, it's very interesting because she has to do work on other people, and that's what they're saying, and that's going to help herself a great deal. The more she has depth, compassion, and appreciation for herself, easier it is for her to help other people. And the reverse, the more compassion she has for other people, the easier it is for her to help herself. And again, for this one, we're making sure that she reaches up with her mind in all three so far and calls in the connection with their higher and wrap it in light, move it over to the side. And now this gentleman, who can never seem to make enough money, he's sensitive, he's self-deprecating, he always is picking on himself and isn't quite sure what he deserves or why he deserves it. So we're seeing him, there we are. We're seeing him, and the guides and angels are saying that he needs to be imbued with a sense of self. A great number of people on our planet have no true sense of self. They just feel like they're either automatons or slaves, or they're just wrong all the time. And we're saying, this guy's got a lot of that. And look at him. He's got a terrific amount of sensitivity. And I got to tell you all that sensitivity is your greatest strength. But it's like a vehicle. You have to learn to drive it. Remember, our sensitivity is how we create to the higher. That's such a brilliant strength, isn't it? And it takes a dropping of your ambition, a dropping of your determination, a dropping of trying, and really an allowing and a surrendering to the fact that here you might have a physical boundary, but really you're a vibrational being. And as you vibrate higher and higher, you link up with more and more higher vibrational beings who have also an intention to link up with you. So it's like opening your mail or opening a phone line or something of that ilk. You don't always have to hear them, but you can surely feel the vibrational connections with other beings. So back we go to our sensitive man saying, hey, you, it would be really, really wise of you to reach up and call in the beings that are above you, those realms of consciousness that are above you. Because, bottom line, you deserve it. And now let's wrap that one in light as well. We're going to move those ones all. That was just one table, you see. Well, it wasn't really four, but never mind. This is the style I've been doing. So we're going to wrap that whole section in light and move it over to the side. And now what we want to do is, I think we'll do the political one. Okay, so we've got another table in here. And our team replicates itself, okay? And it's funny because I want to put something huge on here. So let's narrow it down so that it's smaller. I'm going to put a political situation on. This really bothered me a lot when I heard that Assad of Syria has been absolutely hoarding tons of money in the Panama situation. And all I can think about is the number of babies that are dead in Syria, the number of murderous and excruciating experiences and all the refugees and so on. I'm going, my God, it's just how they take the money and don't care about human life. We'll talk about that in a minute because I was channeling something else and maybe some of you would tune in on it. But anyway, I want to see Syria. I want to see this huge, painful situation in Syria that is actually, that war is a product of many superpowers, including America, if not led by America. So I'm not really talking politics. I'm just saying that's a product of human greed without concern about human needs. Human needs like Social Security, oh my God, that's going to cost us money. Well, life costs money, gang. And sometimes it's meant to grow flowers. It's not meant to just hoard, you know. But in any case, that's me lecturing. So anyway, let's go back to Syria and absolutely fill this area. Okay, here we go. We're going to fill the area with pink light. And we're filling it with guides and angels. Wonderful. Excellent. And we're asking that it be healed. and expand it. And let's ask that the light puncture those resistances in beings who are in charge of, for example, Syria, right? And the beings are standing around and want to do something about that. So wrap that in light, move it over to the side. And let's do a fresh table now. And on this table, what we're going to have is people involved in the primaries of the election, whether it's Trumpity-poo and Hillary and Bernie and all kinds of other people, Cruz and so on and so forth. Let's have a whole bunch of them. The election melee, and the beings who are buying the election, right? The beings who are buying the election, they might call themselves investors. What do they call themselves? Backers, something like that. We're having them all on the table. And now it's you and I. Now, it got a little darker in here, so I want you to go back into your body. First of all, wrap yourself in light. And clean up the influence in your vibrations from these people we're bringing in. And now clean up your entire body inside. And then drop your tensions and find yourself moving into surrender. And then move up, up, up through the top of your head and call in higher guidance. Higher guidance, and ask that you be connected to the higher guidance. Can you feel it? It's sort of a really nice buzz. And as you connect to the higher guidance, ask yourself to send light to the various beings that are coming in to sit on our table. They're all of different political persuasion, political lobbying, but that's not the issue. The issue is to be sending each of them a much higher light. And in fact, see yourself sending the light up through the perineum, which is between the anus and the vagina, or the anus and the penis, you know, the bottom part of your torso. We want to see the light move up through each one of these candidates. Because the same people that are fighting and battling, if they shift their perspective, they may begin to understand and have compassion for all of life. There we go. Good job. That's it. And then as we do, you see, we're better off doing this than fighting and arguing, you know? That's it. And then I want you to wrap that in light and have the guides and angels just absolutely infuse this group with light. Wrap it in light and move it over to the side. And I want you to reach up using your mind as a sculpting tool again and draw in some amazing pink light that's coming through the universe. And you can see it. It's kind of vibrating and resonating with possibility. And have it come down to the top of your head and spin round and round and round in your head and round in your neck, going down into your heart. And have it go round and round in your heart and move up into your shoulders and down your arms. And coming out your hands, right? Now take those hands of yours that are absolutely magical and multidimensional and imagine patting all the parts of the globe that are suffering, whether it's through war, enough war, guys, we don't need any more war, poverty, sickness, anywhere in the world that you know things are suffering, where the Gulf oil spill was, oh my gosh, and where that terrible gas leak is in California, various parts of this country that are being stewed by our own effluent and all the leftovers from our greed and so on. See yourself patting those parts, healing those parts. Good work. And then see that light that you're patting the world with to go round and round and round the planet, round and round the planet, round and round until the planet is this buzzing pink ball, and have that light come back up your arms, your hands, and then your arms up through your shoulders, swing round and round in your heart, good, and then pop back up through your neck and out through the top of your head, good, and way back out into the great central sun, shoot around and come back down, shoot through you, go right down through your body and right into the core of the earth, because that really heals things. Mother Earth herself is doing a lot of healing, but we're here to be contributors. So now I want you to turn around and close off the Galactic Healing Center, jump into your star tetrahedron, your beautiful Merkaba, and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin, spin and spin and spin and spin. And now I want you to call in. Call me. Tell me what's going on in your world, if you can. Do you have a world? What do you believe is possible in your life? I remember just talking. I keep talking about how this. Peter Calhoun was one of my interviewees, and he was a priest. We've talked about him several times, but he was the priest, the Episcopalian priest, who suddenly started having visions and saw how controlled and confined we were, as if there was a skin around the world, and the skin was too tight against the world for us to stand up fully, so we were all hunched over. And he was given that vision to show that the skin around the world is actually quite thin and that we have the ability to break through it and become more and more unlimitable. Now, how? He didn't know. I don't know. You don't know. But I do know this, that being unlimitable just means that when you get to a wall, sorry, Mr. Trump, when you get to a wall, you learn to climb it, you learn to go through it, and you learn to find out that you're the only one in the universe that's you, and you have innate powers of creation that we forget about, or we don't even realize, or we don't even believe. And if we spend our days talking about, for example, oh, well, let's go into the election craziness. I mean, the silly, lying bunch of hoo-ha that's going on, we know what we want. A lot of us want to have a life where people can afford to live and where they can get somewhere and where college isn't so ridiculously expensive and where your health doesn't have to absolutely break you if you get sick or have an operation. We want healthy food that isn't all full of Roundup and so on. So it's not like we want things that are really bizarre. We don't all want billions and billions of dollars. I mean, we just want gardens and love and someone to share with and our kids to have an exciting time. We want, you know, instead we've got this incredible fracas that is sort of like, it's like what is it like? It's like a carnival, one of those weird carnivals, like something out of Hermann Hesse or something, who's a great German writer, if you guys haven't read him. But these kind of carnivals that give you strange visions and you don't know whether to enjoy them or to freak out, you know, that sort of thing. That's kind of what's happening with this election, I think. And with all the industrial, the waste and the poisoning of the earth and the fracking and the, I don't know what you think. But if we know we're unlimited and unlimitable, what do we do with it? I wouldn't combat it. I think we have to rise above in the sense of bringing in the higher fields and frequency and see if we can't help create a higher baseline of vibration in human consciousness. What could happen then? You know, how many times when you look at what you really want in your mind's eye, you create it, right? Isn't that powerful? So I can hear myself and other people argue, saying, well, we can't change everything. I'm going, yeah, I'm not sure that we have to change everything. If you change the energy, you change the reality. And that's back to being unlimitable. So I think that we can make quantum leaps. Are any of you guys going to phone or am I just going to babble on here? Babylon! Oh, Sharon is on line one. Oh, goody. Hi, Sharon. You're on line one and you saved me from myself.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt, but I did want to call. How are you?
Did want you to interrupt. I'm having fun. I'm really enjoying myself these days. How are you?
Good. First of all, I want to thank you for all that you've said this evening. I especially appreciate the part about compassion. I think that's important. And it's something
it's hard for us to remember that, isn't it?
Exactly. I have moments where I'm like, oh, I'm forgetting about compassion.
Thank you. I'll do it right after I kick this person in the chin.
Exactly. And on that note, I have a question about anger and frustration. Because I know sometimes anger and frustration can be good. They can be a signal to us that something is wrong and needs to change. But I was wondering if you had any navigation tips about just how to recognize it in yourself and use it in a positive way.
I think, you know, one, that's a really good question, because I doubt that there's a really simple answer.
Right.
But I used to, years ago, when I used to iron a lot, you know, in the old days, I used to iron, but ironing more than a lot.
I used to iron
when I was angry. Sometimes people don't recognize that they're angry, and it becomes kind of a coldness deep down. And that's really dangerous. So I would say frustration is probably a little more agile, isn't it? Frustration, you can usually feel it. What does it feel like, Anisha?
It feels like it's a wall sometimes that gets in the way. Like I'll stop listening or not listen as much because I'm trying to get a different outcome instead of just being present,
uh-huh.
I guess.
That's a good way to put it, actually. So you're saying you're doing that because you're frustrated, right?
Right. So that can like kind of slow things down or even stop them. It's like any chance of fluidity seems to go out the window.
You said a very interesting thing, which is that you use it kind of against yourself to wall yourself off, right?
Right.
Those weren't your words, but I'm saying it's like it's a way to pull away from experience on many levels, isn't it?
Yes, right.
And actually, with me, I watching you, I'm going, frustration's got a certain kind of heat to it. It's got sort of a heat and a discomfort, and it has an impact on your face, up around your eyes or something. So how do you recognize these things? I think we start to recognize what our patterns, our energy patterns are when we have them, if we're not super conscious of the feeling itself. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. That's interesting about the heat. I have to think more about that.
Yeah, feel more about it. I think feeling about it is really good, because sometimes if you get one of those things, it's like this, if you're talking to somebody and they really frustrate you, you may find yourself having odd breath things. It's funny, in the moment we do little things that are symptoms to people who read bodies, you know what I'm saying? But we need to break in our own code so we can figure out what they are. Like with anger, I think that you're a really kind person, and I think you've got a wonderful temper when you need it. Am I wrong about that?
That's true. I like to think more and more that I choose my moments carefully. I don't like just waste the energy, but only when it's really needed for the temper, when somebody's really crossing a line or really needs to hear something. Yeah.
Do you ever get really impatient and that makes you angry?
Impatient?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, yes. Less than I think I used to, like 10 or 15 years ago, but yes, I still do find that I'll be impatient. And I'm like, wow, so that's not really about me so much as trying to, again, be compassionate and honor the fact that either other people are at different speeds, whatever those speeds are in terms of understanding or expressing or whatever, or just situations mm-hmm. are at different speeds than I might like. So, but yeah.
And how many times do you measure, for example, anger, since you're talking about that, how many times do you measure it according to your gut level, your belly, your solar plexus? Do you measure it that way, or does it make your, I'm trying to remember my stuff, it'll make my face, I can tell my face will get red shortly if I don't express something, if that makes sense.
Sometimes that happens. Yes.
Yeah.
Because then people can see. They can see that I'm flushing and whatever. I often find too that I'm forgetting to breathe, that I'm getting really tight in the belly. So I guess that's kind of
Yeah, that's true.
About.
Mm-hmm.
The solar
panels. So then what do you do?
I just say to myself, wow, what if I just breathe and just try to relax? And I'll notice, like, if my hands are clenching or whatever, and to release that and to relax. And that can make all the difference in terms of trying to understand the other person or their point of view or just the scenario. Just to let it, like you were talking about the presidential elections, I can get so worked mm-hmm. up. And then I'm like, well, I only have so much of a vote, so much of a say, and the rest of it is just watching and waiting, or like you said, sending energy out. I like that idea of helping in that way. That helps.
Yeah, it feels like you're useful then, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Well, what did you say? Okay, you said something. It's really interesting how you're expressing these things, which have a lot to do with interacting with society around you. And I like that. I really appreciate that. Because you're being angry and then feeling the consciousness of the anger so that you don't throw it at someone. Is that what I'm perceiving?
Yes, that either, because years ago, my reactions would either be to feel totally helpless and go inside myself and just like stop trying to do whatever to move forward in a work relationship or whatever, or to get really angry at the person and express it in a fairly unproductive way and often very unproductive way. So now I try to wait more and think about it and what's actually happening and then to try to engage. And that really helps. But I still, oh my gosh, I have moments where I'm like, this is crazy. I just can't put up with it anymore. So that's
I think that as far as what to do with it, because it is a very, it's like a tank of gas in a way. It's like a huge energy, isn't it? And
yes.
I think like writing, singing, dancing, like getting it to move out in some productive fashion is to me really, really helpful. You know, pound
okay,
the floor
so,
and do some kind of what you can't do that in an office, though, can you, Sharon?
No, but I can leave the building and go for a walk.
Or one building I worked in years ago had a lot of stairs. It used to be, I'm going out to run the stairs for 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. But I like that about being more kinetic, because I tend to be more in my head and also I try to be in my heart. So to be more kinetic, that's a good tip. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's really helpful for you. But also I want to say about you, darling, is that you're very, very sensitive. And I think paying attention to, for example, the heat that we talked about with frustration and the way the energies that kind of voluminously roll around in both your chest and your belly, and catching them and watching them could be really fascinating for you. And you catch on to feelings that might be too subtle for you to really notice. Because remember, feelings are the language of the soul in a lot of ways. Feelings are really our guides, aren't they? To like what it is we really want to be, what it is we really want to do, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm really grateful that you called, because it's nice for me to have someone to chat with when I'm on the air and to get people's opinion, you know, people's life experiences. Do you have anything else to say before I say goodbye?
I just really appreciate all the help that you give us, all the nuggets. We're so interconnected, all of us. You know, when you were talking about the divinity in a tree and the divinity in a flower, it's not just humans, obviously, and to try to keep that in our forefront, that we're connected and how to support and help each other. And you're so articulate. You're so amazing at helping us remember that and see that. So thank you.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, I think, thank you for that. And I think it would be helpful for a lot of people to practice the art of seeing the divinity in others as well. Sometimes I have a hard time with that.
Yeah.
Do
right.
you?
Me too. Yes, very much. Certain days and certain people, yes.
Well, and going back to anger, that's another thing that you can do when you're really angry, and it might even make you laugh after a while. like I'm furious with that person, and try to see the divinity in them, and you might even start howling with laughter because it is like, it's crazy.
Wow. Okay. Right. Thank you. I'll try that.
Thanks so much for your call, Sharon. You're delightful. Thank you.
Thank you. Blessings to you.
Blessings to you. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, where are you? Some of the other ones could be calling as well. There is a friend of mine who has a real sensitivity to, two things that I want to say. Sensitivity to pain. It has had head injuries, and she goes to a dentist. It takes a long time for her tooth to fix itself. And it's funny because people get impatient with that. So instead of having compassion for one another, when we have our own ways, our idiosyncratic or cellular or cellular ways of handling physical pain or emotional pain or life changes or whatever, we sometimes don't have the ability to be truly kind to one another and actually see that there's a divine process here, and that the fact that you're the only one in the universe that's you and I'm the only one that's me makes us I know what I wanted to talk about as well, is we think we understand how people are from our own way of being. But so then we project on them the judgments we would have of ourselves for being angry, for being late, for having pain too long, for emotionally grieving too long. Pick a thing, anything. And then we project and get really furious at people. And sometimes, and this is something that you and I can talk about another day, Sharon, but sometimes when I'm really angry, I feel like it's very much amped up because I'm projecting something that I have been frustrated with. There's frustration, I'm frustrated with myself about not being able to master. So suddenly I'm angry with someone else for doing something. And the first place to look at, and I've said it so many times before, the first place to check out is it's all about me. Why am I mad at so-and-so? I better just check and see if that's something to do with me. Maybe it's all about me. And very often it is. So we project from our own inner space. So this is Veronica Entwistle. I said that 3 times. Oh, good. That means you won't forget me. And I'm saying to you to remember to build your connection to the unseen, build your connection to, or your communication with the divinity in all of life. And I'll tell you what, I feel like we will be such, and so many of us do it, we're going to be such a powerful, transcendent species. Oh my goodness, we'll knock our own socks off. And we might even collectively run for election 1 year. So keep in touch with me, VeronicaAntwistle.com. How many of you read my book recently, my near-death experience? No, my near-life experience. Or how do I know when I'm really me? I've gotten some great feedback from some of you, so I'd love some more feedback, you guys. How do I know? Now, let me see. My near-life experience and how do I know when I'm really me? And when you send in your reviews to Amazon, I get the points for that, don't I? But also, I'm really eager to hear how you responded to some of my tales, because so many of you said, hey, this is a story about my life. And we're all trying to emerge into multidimensional beings, and it's a good week to do it. Much love to all of you. Good night. Many, many blessings. Thank you for listening. Email me, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com for your session or your opinion. Good night and much love.